from the trenches. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to From the Trenches, real life in the accounting industry. My name is David Boyer from Sequel CFO. I'm joined here with Paul Meisner from Freedom Accounting and Liveways Group. We're brought to you again by our mates over at BGL, Australia's number one corporate compliance and superannuation software. BGL are going to come up in the show when I chat about an issue, Paul.
Good. Good. Hello, listeners. Hello, all. David, another week. Another week in accounting. Good. Some good feedback from our recent episodes on sacking clients and on the Royal Commission. We got some interesting...
We did get some good stuff, and I think people... And I said this last week, mate, your bravery to talk about losing a client. But I do want to give a bit of an update, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because you did the BD afterwards, and I think it's time we got the redemption story now.
Well, I got it picked up about three or four times the dollar value in work sort of the next day when I sort of got my ass moving.
That must have been because of all your SEO work and marketing. No, it wasn't.
Word of mouth. Rock on, word of mouth. In fact, ironically, the client that left and one of the clients that came on was referred. The new one who was going to be worth more money than the one that left was referred by the one that left. I just put that together. Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just... Anyway,
that's the big advantage of having a big client base. It just is. It's the advantage. All right.
Anyway. In-depth this week, David, we like to say that up the front because otherwise sometimes it gets buried in the back of the show. QuickBooks put out a test website we'll get to it in the in-depth topic clearly, but...
Offering bookkeeping services offering to SMEs.
Bookkeeping. Now, yeah, what's that going to look like? Certainly set some cats amongst pigeons.
Matt Paff called it the biggest story in accounting of the year. Joining us later in the show will be the 2017 Australian Firm of the Future winner, Lalette Kalija, to talk about what it means for bookkeepers and her take on the issue. Paul, let's get into
it. Certainly a lot of consultants jumping on a lot of bandwagons there, foreshadowing lots of doom that we'll talk about. Then, David, get us kicked off with Best on Ground.
Best on Ground, I haven't mentioned this in a while, Paul. I've dropped it into many conversations. I happen to have done a TED Talk. I'm a TEDx speaker.
I reckon it's been two episodes now that you haven't mentioned
that. I know, I'm doing well.
There you go.
But in my talk, I spoke about how important it is that accountants go out and engage with the community and show off what we can do. You know, you always say we know what we do, and honestly, like, that's not good enough. You got to go tell the business owners what you do so that they know to ask you the questions and engage. I don't know if I'm proud, but it's great to see Jason Andrews, who's written this awesome new book called Start Making Numbers, on Entrepreneurs Show with Jack DeLosa on the Your Money Network, talking about problems with scaling up, problems with running your business, and also Jason Robinson, who hasn't come out yet. So Jason runs RBK Advisory in Melbourne. Zero Award winner?
I think so, yep.
And I flew up to Sydney and recorded with Cochise Business Builders. Hopefully he's going to get a take talking on some program that Cochise's running, Bricks and Clicks, turning retailers into online businesses. These are extreme examples. Not everyone's going to get these opportunities. But just getting into the community and getting to the public and explaining the value of what accountants do is not only good for the businesses and the communities, but it's how you and your firm is going to survive any form of digital disruption. Because, you know, you don't want to be just the pencil pusher, the paper pusher. Not that there's anything wrong with that, Paul. But I think that it's good if we can show off what we do. Well done, guys.
I think it's also good to have case studies. You know, people have actually put this software in. Mm. There's a lot of, a lot of systems out there. Anyway, good on Jason and Jason. There you go.
Good on Jason. Now,
keep going.
Dear listeners, we've got a promo for you. We have a promo. We have a book giveaway.
Oh, right.
Yes. I should have mentioned this before the show to you, Paul. Sorry. Jason Andrews has very kindly offered 5 copies of his book, Stark Naked Numbers, to accountants. The reason why we're doing this, Paul, is because he gave us a read before it went public, and your feedback was, this is great for accountants because accountants know this stuff but don't necessarily know how to have the conversation with their customers. And because the book's really good at putting it from the customer's point of view, you said it would be a good thing. Now, to qualify, all you need to do is head over to this website that I'm about to give you and type in, put your email in, and you'll go into the draw to win a copy of Jason's book. It would be great if I just happened to have it on hand. www.sbo.financial/FTT. Head to the landing page, put your details in, and you will go into the draw. We'll announce it on next week's show.
Terrific, terrific book. Really great read. At more at the client level than at the advisor level, but also if you... It articulates it really well. And in fact, I found myself using the examples in it with a client that I had the next day because it was a great way. It was a really simple way to look at P&Ls and costing and break even. So anyway, well done to you. Keep going, David.
We'll be dropping the interview I did with Jason when I was up in Brisbane this week as well. Check it out. Bruce Bardell on LinkedIn. Bruce Bardell is, as far as I'm concerned, well, he's a listener of the show. I know that. Is an accountant. He is a high street tax accountant out in Dandenong. He's been doing it since 1983, very experienced, and there's just a nice little bit on his LinkedIn, which doesn't have a huge amount on it, but he says, under his experience, taxation for late tax returns, dash, it's never too late. It's never too late to lodge, Paul. It's just sort of hidden in there on his LinkedIn page. I love it because it's a very easy way for people to say, well, I'm going to go talk to this guy, get my head out of the sand and deal with my late lodgements.
Yep, absolutely. There's a lot of late lodgements out there. Keep going, David. You're bringing everything to the table this week.
The sack the client conversation, we put it as our sort of planning for the year. We always talk about it and we never do it. We've all got bad clients. We've got one client we worked out. We're earning $22 an hour on them.
Wow.
Yeah, we're losing money on it. That's a loss-making client. That client needs to be sacked. The challenge is that we all understand the theory and we understand margins and cost accounting. We struggle to have the conversation to actually do it because it's a hard thing to do. Tim Munro, who, fan of the show, runs Change GPS, sends out a monthly newsletter to members of Change GPS. And in this one, he has actually given the email that you should use when you're sacking your client, and it pulls no punches. The subject line is, we've decided not, in capitals, to continue as your accountants. It's so bold. Direct. I don't know if I do it. I'm a pretty bold and direct person, but that's bold in my book.
Yeah, I guess if a client left you, as it happened recently, you know, the client made the effort to come in and talk to me face to face, I think sacking a client would be the same. You'd want to talk to them.
Yeah, you would want to talk to them, but he's suggests sending it as a template to get it across. We've all got bad clients, and this is a direct way of dealing with it. Rip the Band-Aid off, Paul.
My question about sacking clients, one of my reservations, apart from being a wuss, is
revenue still revenue?
And thinking that no clients, once you turn them down, I would have thought
the curling would have really toughened you up.
That was a very sarcastic comment, David, for someone who's never done curling. Anyway, where do you refer a client?
This letter says, please find an accountant and ask them to send us an ethical letter. Because you're right.
Because that's what someone's going to say. Someone's going to go, who else can help me? It's kind of like, well, I kind of feel like...
But if you don't want to work for them, you're not going to refer them to a mate. They'll throw your mate under a bus.
But to be honest, the ones I need to get rid of are the ones that aren't necessarily bad. They're just smaller. But I suppose you're right, they're bad because they demand more. So anyway, that's another topic. Well, Let's talk about clients. I actually
recommended someone, he asked me, you know, what should I do for an accountant? I got a very simple thing. I said, just go to H&R Block.
Yeah.
Go to one of the bigger H&R Blocks, one of the big sort of the urban centres, and just get it done there. Like, don't muck around. They know enough. Paul, your best on ground.
Do keep a lookout for articles, David, as you know, that talk about the future of work and all that kind of stuff. The Age had an interesting article, Is Your Industry Growing or Shrinking? Find out the future of your profession. Obviously a type of headline, David, that would have pricked my ears and gone, uh-oh, how many times can we hear the word AI, robot, disruption, all sorts of things. Another thing that I loved, David, in this is, It was actual historical numbers of the employment from the census. So it basically took the census figures.
That's fact.
It exactly. It's actual data that's happened, not what might happen or will happen or... And it's not...
The census is still a survey, Paul. You don't love surveys.
Oh, and I've got a funny one, actually, in that for you as well. But so tax agent or agent tax jobs falls into the category of accountants. In 2011, so between 2011 and 2016, there was 8,000 more professionals, which is interesting because this is under the finance managers group under accountants. I would have said the ageing workforce would have meant that number was down. So that's interesting to me. There was 146,399 workers in that category. I thought it was great. I also searched, and then they do some sort of prediction between now and 2023 based on the old data, which I liked. Get in there, have a play, use your, migration looked good as well. I checked for my wife, not a listener of the show, as I often say. One of the funny things, and coming back to your, David, your point about a survey is a survey, how people categorise themselves. The data shows that 64 baristas became barristers over the course of those 2 years, while 113 barristers became baristas. So I have a feeling that 113 people realised that that barrister was slightly different to pouring coffee, albeit, you know, the hipsters. Anyway, there you go. So obviously surveys are...
This was the census that stuffed up because they went digital and it didn't work for 2 days and...
It's a media campaign, David. I felt it was a bit unjust.
You'd be a great worker for Joseph Stalin, I think, up in the party, defending the party line. Mate, what's interesting, just on this one, 8,000 more workers for all accountants, it seems. It doesn't seem to matter what I type in. It's giving me the same result. When they changed jobs, they most commonly became finance managers. Is that sort of public practice accountants going into industry, potentially? Just anecdotally, that fits the stories I hear. This story was told really well in a very funny way by Bernard Salt at ZeroCon last year. It was ZeroCon stole... Bernard stole the stage. His laughs were so big, other people on stage had to stop because they had one of those shared stages. Great to see our jobs increasing. Expected to grow by another 4% by 2023.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Good stuff. David, worst on ground. Kick us off.
Big week for software companies doing releases with the best of intentions and missing the mark in the communication with their constituents. MYOB on their roadshow at the moment, MYOB Insight. I went down on Friday for a few hours, caught up with Kieran McKenzie, who's featuring on my new podcast, The Financial Mentor, Alan Fitzgerald, the BGL team, of course, and had a chat. But Accountants Daily have written... MYOB now has a feature to help with some corporate compliance. Interesting, because MYOB are clearly trying to build that end-to-end one platform, which I've said repeatedly, if it works, there will be a chunk of our industry who want that end-to-end, I don't want to deal with 10 different apps, ecosystem type solution. The article that's come out, David Weichart, who I've met, has been on the show, check out our From the Journals with MYOB for a chat with David, has said accountants can now go through and use the platform to submit company tax returns, all right, and also register companies. It takes the process for registering a new company down to about 5 steps or 4 minutes, and you can charge $2,000 for it. I don't think you can charge $2,000 for it. I think that includes the ASIC costs. This was picked up in the Small Business and Accountants Brain Trust group on Facebook. We actually went there to post a video from our last week's show, and I noticed this. And people are sort of saying, hang on, you know, the other guys have been doing this for ages. Now Infinity is the one that got mentioned. BGL obviously does it as well. Good one, MYOB. MYOB have no respect for accountants was one comment from Tina Kerwin. I don't think that's true, but I think they've missed the mark a little bit on the pricing for this service, Paul.
Oh, look, and probably you never know whether it was taken out of context or... I didn't reach out to MYOB and they said that certainly it wasn't... They didn't think it was David's intention to talk about compliance going anywhere. There were a few comments around David about this being quite normal. I mean, ClearDocs have had an online portal for years that you can pretty much just click, get it all emailed to you within a couple of minutes.
I use Gabriel Jukes over at Shelfcom.
I use Now Infinity. Absolutely love that. That's, you know, easy as to manage the ASIC as well. BGL have got the products, obviously, but we've used them for years as well in other firms. So, look, I think it's new to MYOB doesn't necessarily make it new to everyone else. Anyway,
So I did have a chat to a few people at MYOB Insight. Obviously, MYOB's released the beta version of the practice management software. A lot of questions still. I spoke to about 8 or 9 accountants who I knew. No one really had a firm opinion. If you have one and you're a MYOB user, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and I think like everyone, just sort of you're waiting to see what actually happens. You know, we've used corporate compliance. Having it in the one system, David, as you said when we sort of originally brought that up, you know, if MYOB can bring it all together, then awesome. You know, they really will control, and they kind of need it to control that desktop move into the cloud. Otherwise, you know, that they will sort of see that leakage out to other providers. What else you got?
Just a quick one, and it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. AFR, who's just written excellently about the Royal Commission and the fallout from the Royal Commission, financial institutions should focus on improving customer outcomes and putting clients first, says a consultant to the banks. I don't want to be a bit cynical, but why weren't they? Well, we found out in the Royal Commission why they weren't, but if you need a consultant to tell you to do that, I can go on LinkedIn and find 20 articles, I reckon, in the space of an hour that tells me to put customers first. It almost is just endemic of how bad the situation was in the banks that maybe they weren't doing that. I would have thought that you don't need a consultant to get a headline to tell you to put customers first in 2019.
You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so at all, David.
Worst on ground for you, Paul.
What have I got?
That's right.
That's it.
Like, yeah, we spoke about it half an hour ago, mate.
This is an article that came up. A man said that he tried to argue in court that taxation laws do not apply to him because he does not accept recognition. Can't even say it. Recognition as a person. An argument a magistrate, realistically, no problems in guessing, described as nonsense. A man from North Bendigo was basically being charged in court failure to submit 6 tax returns. He told the Bendigo Magistrates Court that as a human being who waives my right to recognition as a person, he did not accept the 6 charges. Right. Good try. That's like up there with the dog ate my homework.
That's like it's worse, but it reminds me of that Monty Python sketch, what have the Romans ever done for us? Oh, well, the roads. Oh, yeah, the roads. Democracy. Oh, yeah, democracy. This guy's not a human, but he's using all our services.
I love that. Like, people have tried, you know, I'm declaring their property another country and trying to claim sovereignty. This is the first time I've heard...
Liberland was the...
giving up his right as a recognition as a person. There you go.
Really sets back the human rights movement a few decades, doesn't it? If that movement takes hold.
Interesting. Anyway, I suppose people have got to try. Largely failed, but whatever. Got to try. Right. In depth, David.
In depth. What a week.
Kind of just when a test website. So then we're, of course, listeners talking about QuickBooks entering or promoting the bookkeeping space. Set up a test website. They've got this in the tax space, but it just set bookkeepers off, David.
Well, just bookkeepers. So Intuit have released a test website, inverted commas. The official party line is that it's a test, where they've got fixed prices for bookkeeping, and basically QuickBooks are going to do the bookkeeping for you, or Intuit's going to do the bookkeeping for you for the business. The immediate response is that it's going to compete with, well, the immediate feeling is that it's going to compete with the Pro Advisor Network. There's 50,000 bookkeepers and accountants in the Intuit Pro Advisor Network.
But are the people doing the work going to be from the Pro Advisor Network?
So the base level work, my understanding, will be done by Intuit, and then if they need a more advanced question, it'll be referred out. So it's Legion for the Pro Advisor Network.
So it is true competition. So I was thinking that it was just, you know, like any partner program,
it's theoretically
flicking it to their network. So you're saying there is in-house bookkeeping work being done.
Blake Oliver's written a very comprehensive article on this. MatPath broke it. MatPath says this is the story of 2018. He asked the question about a year ago on panels. He's known for saying that the software companies are going to do this sort of stuff. As it was breaking, we first saw it, we're in a private chat group with some very forward-thinking accountants that like to chat and support each other. Somebody posted the Blake Oliver and David Leary post saying, what's this? I happened to be on a call with a very senior exec at Intuit at the time, and I said, hey, what's going on here? And straight away, I got told, this is a test. We're testing pricing. It's for people who aren't using accounting products at the moment, don't have advisors at all, and it's part of our vision of engaging and supporting small businesses, and I got the party line. That might be very true. Check out the Blake Oliver article where he says they're actually already advertising for staff to lead the team. So yeah. It sounds like it's a bit more than a test.
It's moving, yeah.
It's maybe they're testing pricing. We're going to have a chat with the Let Collegiate in a moment, Paul. The thing that sticks out for me is, you know, bookkeeping's been under threat, in inverted commas, for literally probably as long as I've been an accountant, definitely the last 10 years. They've been told by everyone, the people who we often complain about on this show, that you need to change your business. You can't just do cash coding and you can't just do it for small clients. You need to be more. I think this got a very negative response from our community of accountants and professionals because we've been belted for so long and been told our jobs aren't going to go. The people who have trusted and we've thought have been in our camp have been the software companies because it hasn't been our membership groups. And now it's a software company that appears to be putting the final nail in the coffin. And we as an industry community, you know, the professionals, have responded negatively. We could have responded positively, say, great, I don't want those clients. This is going to be lead gen for when those clients grow. But we didn't because of, I think, the sentiment we've had the last 10 to 15 years.
Interesting for me, David, great synopsis there, by the way. Thank you. Well done. The price hasn't been set. Clearly it's a test, although, you know, probably more like a test balloon. It's happening, let's just test the water. Certainly I think lost the PR battle in terms of...
Yeah, comms weren't great.
Comms were not, yeah, sort of non-existent, I suppose. David, as someone who's done, you know, cloud accounting, and I'm not a bookkeeper, David, I don't do the bookkeeping, but certainly I see enough bookkeeping of people who have tried it themselves or got other people to do it. There is, you know, this isn't dissimilar. Last week on the show, we talked about KPMG shuttering their small business area. When massive companies whose skill set is software or whatever get into an area where they haven't before, they've got to deliver. And this is having done cloud accounting and having seen the amount of dirty data in terms of, you know, in the desktop world, I always said this, in the desktop world, clients were scared to get into their accounts. In the cloud world, clients get in there. Now, what happens when you get too many hands in there? They bugger it up. You build an easier system and they'll build a stupider client. So, I actually think, one, you've got to deliver on it. And for all the talk of automation, all the people that talk, oh, well, you just press a button and the accounts fall out. Well, we've seen enough accounts, David, to know how actually hard it is to get it right. And what's right? You know, right isn't tax minimised. Right isn't even right. Of accounts are you looking at?
Oh, I think the standard of right is actually much lower of tax minimised, because if it's tax minimised, it's then had advisory work put on top of it.
Tax advisory, yep.
It's tax advisory put on top of it. I think that right is the balance sheets reconciled. And so often you don't see that. So often I've seen, and you'd see more than me, just with the quantum of clients, BAS's lodged without reconciled balance sheets. Because the bookkeeping, in inverted commas, has just been cash coding bank statements into a P&L that looks like that's how a business performed. And
cash
that's it. Yeah. And so just to get a bit more than that, which to me is what the minimum should be, you don't see it that much. So you'd want to see, you're right, they need to deliver at that piece, which is a bit more than bookkeeping. There's a bit of real accounting in that.
Cash coding, you've hit the nail on the head there, Dan. Cash coding bank statements, or making sure that, you know, you're reconciling invoices that you've raised to the bank. Let's be honest, this is small to medium business. They're not putting bills in.
Nah.
They're not really tracking their receipts. It's cash coding the bank statement plus matching the invoices. That's what, you know, 99% of those micro businesses do.
Maybe a car lease.
That isn't bookkeeping. That gets you step 0.5 on the way.
So would you say it's admin?
That is the stuff that was never worth any money. Making sure you're, you know, liabilities are right, your accruals are right. I mean, the tax, I agree with you, is a separate thing over and above the bookkeeping. But even in the bookkeeping space, just reconcile and payroll. If you're doing payroll, it's a whole other reconciliation there. On top. Let alone your tax balances, your loan balances, your all sorts of stuff, David. People who talk about the automation of bookkeeping and the automation of accounting, I don't think have ever done it.
Well, so this goes back to users of financial accounts, right? The concept that we got taught, I reckon in accounting, in year 11 accounting, I think I got taught about the concept of different types of reports for different users. I think the type of businesses that this will be attracted to this are people whose mindset is, I only need to do accounting to remain compliant. My business is small enough that I don't need advice. I don't have enough going on. The tax piece is separate because let's just focus on bookkeeping for now. And so because the user of the report is the government, all they care about is that stuff gets lodged on time. And then most bookkeepers that I know...
And pay less tax, though.
Yeah, but that's tax advisory. Like, that's...
But even at the book, even at the BAS, you want to claim everything, though.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. So you'd hope that they're going to do this. I think the users of these reports don't value the value added that bookkeepers and tax accountants do. They're never going to pay for it. So it's actually questionable if the clients who sign up to this are competing with the pro-advisor community. I'm not sure some still play in that space, but literally for 10 years we've been told, don't just do that. It's not enough.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, I think there is still data transposition work, and it will get done because it needs to. But I don't see this as. I mean, I still think it's interesting. Again, the price point's not fixed, but $200 a month for micro businesses is an awful lot. You know, one of the trends in that micro end that I've seen is clients trying to do it themselves to save the cost.
Yeah,
I mean, you pretty much can't find a bookkeeper. Realistically, who's got enough capacity, or especially for those small jobs, yeah. And then clients do it themselves, and so arguably, I mean, this might help because it actually gets them started and set up properly, which might be good in terms of a setup. It'd be interesting to see what the churn's like. You know, I think you get them over the hump. Small business owners have that, and then they see $200 a month, and they go, you know what? It's cash coding bank statements, and the bank rules are set up. I can do it.
Yeah, maybe. And if the interest software in the US is easy to lodge, and that's where we're getting well beyond our expertise, but you've got 52 different sales tax jurisdictions in the US. It's not like here. The indirect taxes are actually pretty complicated.
And that's, again, the tax, not the... And you're right. Like, where does this, you know, where does this go?
Yeah.
Anyway, it'd be interesting to see what Lalette says. I think, like anything, it'll be taken by these consultants for accountants and people looking for clickbait saying, you know, I mean, and Blake Oliver, you know, bookkeeping is dead, how Intuit will kill it for good. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, I think he's an accountant. He did accounting previously. I'm not sure how much bookkeeping he's done. But like everything, it'll have a ripple. People will work their way around it. There'll still be plenty of work for everyone.
I think that it's competition. I don't think we should fear. If it is competition, I don't think we should fear competition. I think we should focus on what we're doing, what we're great at, and finding ways to communicate our value to our clients and people who we want to be our clients. If you just keep doing that, you'll get through this really easily.
And it's part of me as well. You know, this sort of like any blog that Intuit's ever written on value pricing, notwithstanding the cost of their software in Australia, but, you know, this is just... And this would be interesting if they force their pro advisors to do the service at a certain rate. Now, Blake Oliver talks about TurboTax, which effectively is their tax product. You can pick up the phone, get it reviewed by an agent. Those agents are paid far below the market value that they would get for their hourly service. So this is...
But they're employees, not... Oh, sorry.
No, they're not. This is the tax. The tax agents are referred out. Now, the bookkeeping might come in house, but it's interesting when you know the partner channel is so important if you're competing.
So, just on the reduced rate piece, that gap between what the reduced rate is and what you get out on the market is, to quote our favourite KPI, the cost of customer acquisition. Right? Instead of spending time going to networking events and asking for referrals, it's been given to you on a silver platter, and the price for that is. You get to charge less because...
But not if Intuit is saying, you know, sign up with us, we'll refer you work, but we'll do it at below minimum wage.
Yeah, well, you don't want that. That's not good.
Anyway, that's not my view. Blake Oliver makes a point in here about the rate for the tax they were paying the tax agents.
We've spoken about this a lot longer than we thought. It was a great conversation. But this is where using offshore teams becomes really, really important, because that rate, so for $200 a month, what would almost definitely happen, and remember, bookkeepers are a lot cheaper in the US than here.
Yeah.
Like really a lot. I think they go for about $20 an hour. They're 60, 65 here as external consultants, not employees.
Because we've got GST. Arguably, America's got sales taxes and all sorts
three
of stuff.
Roughly three times the price. Yeah. I'm open for, it may not be a bit more than 20, but it is less. You for that price point, you have to be using Philippines, India. You have to be using somewhere. Now, I don't think the client... Well, I know clients don't care as long as they've got someone to go to for questions beyond the day-to-day, yep, and as long as you're delivering a great service. So I'd be surprised if this isn't offshore.
And do that, yeah. Like, and I think that's when big... And this is what the comment I was making about KPMG. When big companies try to do these small tasks to micro-businesses...
They're not agile enough.
In a people sense... Yeah. You know, they have to choose some pro advisors. Does it annoy the rest of the pro advisors? How do they pick them? Are they the right ones? What if they give bad advice? And what if they just, you know, simply the data just doesn't get, you know, the books don't get done properly, or there's an assumption by the business that it's already done? You know, do you drop the perception of value? Arguably, a lot. You know, you go to your agent, you go, oh, I paid QuickBooks to do it. It should be perfect. It's like, dumbass. It's like, it's not even close. Like, nothing's reconciled. You know, the bank's reconciled. Congratulations.
No,
yeah. What about payroll? What about tax? What about loans? What about just the entire balance sheet, David? Like, yeah, just like the whole balance sheet.
I agree.
The whole balance sheet. Outside of, you know, accounts receivable. Well, in fact, accounts receivable's not even reconciled by cash coding. You know, what if there's... Anyway, don't get me started. Anyway,
I haven't seen you rant in about a year. Listeners, when was the last time you heard a rant like that? And usually we know when it's coming. I did not see that coming.
That just sprung up. I don't know.
It's the best thing I've ever heard.
Anyway.
But what the reason it's come up is because this is a really big thing. The biggest risk, I think, I do believe if you're focused on conveying your value to the people who are going to buy your product, you're going to get through this. My biggest fear, and it's been spoken about online and it's in a bunch of articles, is price anchoring of the service and people just not valuing it.
Yeah, that worries me.
You're never going to compete with Intuit's marketing. You're never going to compete with their reach online. That's okay. But if, you know, we've all had customers said, oh, but I can get it from this place for $20 an hour. We've all had those people. I think you're probably going to get more if this gets the attraction and if it comes to Australia.
Whether or not it comes to Australia would be interesting. You know, that's sort of the and what happens in the UK with making tax digital. You know, that's a sort of a bigger option where there's more, it's more mandated, or it will be more mandated. Mm. Anyway, interesting. See what they want to do. Will they actually compete? You know, will they get scared by this, you know, somewhat of a false start? I don't know.
The UK one's really interesting. So you've got real serious industry disruption happening in the UK. Like, mate, it is. And it's been spoken to death over there. But in the wake of change and disruption, there's always opportunity. I wonder if this ends up being a better, quicker solution for businesses in the UK, because a lot of accountants aren't quick enough to respond to the demands of making tax digital.
Well, and the UK just won't, they don't have enough resources to deal with micro businesses all hitting the cloud. And I know from experience, it's not easy trying to drag the ones that...
No, you end up being a change agent, and that's... We're tax agents, not change agents.
It's hard enough when they think there's a reason, or they're at least somewhat encouraged to start the journey, when they're forced into it by a government kicking and screaming. Australia are going through it with single-touch payroll at the moment. You know, if accountants have to go and say, well, the government's making you do something, that's not a great step.
Well, it's not exactly... And it's not exactly like trust and faith in the government's quite high in the United Kingdom at the moment, Paul.
Yeah.
We've gone on a lot, mate. We didn't see it coming, but it was a great chat. I love chatting to you about this stuff.
And we'll hear from Lalette Kalija about her thoughts. Have a great week.
See you guys. Here's Lalette. Welcome back to the show. 2017 Intuit Firm of the Future winner and prominent Australian bookkeeper, Lalette Kalija. Lalette, thanks for coming back.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me. We've asked you to join the show because the big story this week basically is an article by Blake Oliver saying that bookkeeping is dead and Intuit's going to kill it. Intuit, as Paul and I have just explained, launching their own, I guess, service that on the face of it looks like it's going to compete with bookies. What do you think, Lillette? What do the bookies think about this?
Well, honestly, I don't think many bookies have thought much about it here in Australia. So, which surprises me that no one has jumped up and down about it. And I sometimes wonder, is it because, you know, Australian bookkeepers and accountants are so used to being agnostic and not just being tied to one product? And that could be the case. So I think if, you know, any software was to do what Intuit is proposing that they're offering, I don't think that would really, shake their world too much. So I think what's happening out of the US has definitely, you know, ruffled some feathers, wrongly or rightly, I don't know, but I think the whole communication process with Intuit to its pro advisors could have been handled a little bit better. And I'm sure they know that now in hindsight.
I'm in a handful of accounting and bookkeeping Facebook groups, and these groups are usually very active. Like when something happens, people are all over it because I think accountants and bookkeepers more than ever need to be talking to their peers. Barely a blip in these groups about this news, but certainly on social media and the consultants and people who aren't accountants are hailing this as, and Matt Paff called it the biggest story of the year. If it was, you'd think more people would be talking about it.
Exactly. So who is it the biggest story for? Is it someone who has a podcast? And don't take this the wrong way, but is it for those people who have an audience and they can talk about something? So it can make it a big news, news item for them. But for us on the ground, look, for me personally, and I can only speak on my behalf, I don't speak on behalf of any other bookkeepers, but if I was to rely solely on the leads that come from the Pro Advisor portal, I would have no business. It's not what my business is based on. I get leads from, other accounting firms, through other software providers as well. It's because of the tools, we offer and the value that we place on our services. Yes, I can see the whole misconception with pricing, offering $200 bookkeeping services. But again, I don't think it's a market for everyone. I mean, there are bookkeepers here in Australia that can do $200 bookkeeping services as well. Depends on how you've positioned your business and what your cost of labour is. And if you're offshoring, it's easy to do $200 a month bookkeeping services.
And make a margin still.
And make a margin. Yeah, people have to stop focusing on the cost, the sale price. We're always telling our clients, don't worry about your turnover. What's your margins that you're making? And it's no different to bookkeepers. Think about your margin. Yes, you might be selling at, at $200. But if you have, a team in the Philippines or India who you can offload some of this work to, it's a lead gen to grow, that turn those businesses into something else. So I always go back to why I came into this business, and it was to support small business. And I think if I take, and I've said this, I think, on Twitter somewhere, if I took my bookkeeping hat off and I thought like a small business owner, which I am a small business owner, I'd want the best possible chance for me to get through my first year of business. And if Intuit are providing that solution, then I applaud them for that. I think it's a great initiative on their part. Like I said, and I don't, I don't discount what they've done, their communication could have been a lot better.
The Australian bookkeepers mostly have responded to threats to traditional bookkeeping for 10, maybe even 15 years, been receiving messages from all sorts of people that you need to move to app advisory, business performance improvement, you've got to move to value pricing and away from the hourly rate. So do you think that maybe there hasn't been such a big response in Australia because it doesn't matter to the practitioner? We've already moved on from this.
Oh, totally. Totally. We, you know, advisory is something we've always done. You know, we don't just sit there and do data entry. We've never just done that. It just means that the data entry, you know, 70% of it now is taken care of, and we're able to do less, you know, laborious tasks and more and having more conversations with our clients. So that, I don't think, if you know, if you want to ask any bookkeeper, I would say that they've always done advisory. It's just now that we're trying to justify the whole value-based pricing concept. And now I'm a big fan of value-based pricing. It works when you've got your systems in place and you've got the right team to deliver on those services. So, yeah, there's a lot of things I hear in the marketplace and I just go, really? Like, you know, I've been, you know, 14 years I've had my business and I think I've been doing advisory from day one because it's why I went into business. It's why I started a bookkeeping business.
Well, you have that. You're not a career bookkeeper. You have that background in financial controller. And if listeners want to check out Lilette Collegia's background, have a look at the interview we did two years ago, live from San Francisco when you were at Intuit San Jose QuickBooks Connect for the Firm of the Future finals. Lilette, thanks for coming on the show. I've just got one final question for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm going to assume that if you run a podcast, this is exciting for you. Because I don't think that's directed at myself and Paul. I hope not.
No, I think if anything, you and I were probably chatting offline when it all unfolded in the private group as well. And I think you're also on a call with Alison Ball at the same time.
I was on a call with Alison Ball. The what's her title? She's
Global influencer. Yeah, I'm sorry, Alison. I don't know your title. I just know you're very, very important and you have a global role and we all love and respect you.
When it broke in Australia, I was on the call to Alison and sort of played it down. I think it's interesting. I think that it goes back to business fundamentals.
What's my value
proposition? Competition's real. All right, look, there's another bit of competition. Have a look at it, acknowledge it, move on.
Competition's good. Good for everyone. Competition is good for everyone.
I completely agree. Now, Lilette, you're a very busy woman. You've just launched a new business, AccountTech Global. My understanding of it, a new platform that's really going to address modern trends in the industry, promotion of women, increasing rates of digital adoption within the accounting community and some real life networking events. I think there's an awesome purpose that you guys, you ladies have. I'm not allowed to say guys anymore, am I?
No.
I don't know. I've got to practice because I don't mean to.
Yeah, me too. I keep saying guys.
Anyway, it's definitely got a great purpose. Your first event is coming up after Accounting Business Expo.
It is. It's the launch of AccountTech Global. It's a golf day on the 22nd of March at beautiful Bondi. And we're very lucky that for our first event, our sponsorship is all filled up and we've got, you know, it's pretty much full. So if you would like to play golf, get in contact, just log on to the website accounttech.global and you register your interest as a player. But I couldn't have articulated what AccountTech Global is any better than what you just have, David.
Well, thanks very much. Let me know where I can send the consulting fees invoice to Lilette Collegia. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to an episode of From the Trenches. David and I love to hear from listeners, so you can reach out if you've got feedback or story ideas. Get in touch. I can be reached on Twitter at @PaulMeissner_ or on LinkedIn, Paul Meissner.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, Boyar, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
From the Trenches.